The first one, where do you find peace? And I've left these little areas here for you as well, and space too. Peace with God. So Jesus comes so that we can have peace with God the Father. Because it was broken long ago with Adam and Eve. It was busted up because of disobedience. But Jesus comes to repair it. He comes to fix it. And I think that's an amazing thing. Except, you know what? I don't think it comes so easily as that. Because we have to do something as well. We have to accept it. We have to embrace it. Because it is a gift that God has given us through Jesus. But it's your choice. It's my choice. For some of you, maybe you were like me 20-odd years ago. Was there a God? Is there a God that does this? Is there a God, like, when you hear the story of Jesus? You know, for me, it was troubling. I knew there was something out there. But I wasn't sure what it is. And I think it's depicted for me in my children. A lot of my life is surrounded, of course, by my children. And I see things in them that draw me closer to God. You see, regardless of what we think, God is actually there. He's actually there. And I see that in my son, Luke, who's 3 years old now. And loved the little guy. He's very energetic and passionate, but at times he's incredibly focused and frustrated. Well, just the other day, and he's now potty trained, okay? He's like this. He's playing on something, and he's like this. And we're like, it's side. He has to go pee. So I pick him up. I said, Luki, you gotta go pee. He's like, no. No. I'm like, Luki, you have to go pee. And he's like, no, no pee. And his legs start to flail, and his hands are like this. I'm thinking, he's gotta go pee. So I run over to the bathroom. I stick him on the toilet. I pull his pants down. Stick him on the toilet. And he just goes. And you know what he's saying at the same time? No pee. No pee. Sometimes I think we're like that with God as well. We're like, no God. No God. But there is an emptiness inside. Do you know what? God's actually there. But we're like my son. We're resisting. We're kicking. We're flailing. We're shouting. We're screaming. But you know what? God's there. All you have to do is go pee. You just got to do it. It's about the action that we take of accepting and just doing it, saying, God, okay. See, there's two sides of life that I kind of spotted. One is the self-inflicted, and the other one is in spite of. I think we inflict ourselves is by denying. We deny God. We sense he's there. We just maybe don't have a name sometimes for those of you who don't know Christ. We just deny, but we know this thing's there. But we need to look at the other side. So anyways, so in spite of what we think we know, thank you. In spite of what we think we know, if we were to embrace God, accept him into our lives, we would find peace with God first by embracing him, just like a child that comes running. And I apologize for those who don't know it yet. But when a child comes running to you, it is absolutely amazing. And same thing as when the child denies you. I'm like this, come on, Luke. And he's like this. But other times he comes running and he throws himself. We need to do the same thing as well. We need to just rush over to God. And there is a peace that happens there. And you know what? The wonderful thing is that we have that eternal life. We don't know it yet. I wonder what it's like. But does it really matter? Because that's not for now. That's for another time. But because of that peace with God, we can live eternally with Him. So for you right now, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to give you tons and tons of theological reasons why. You know there's an emptiness in your heart. I apologize because I believe it's self-inflicted. Because you haven't addressed that hole. Would you try Christ? Would you give Him that opportunity to fill that hole for you? Second one, peace with ourselves. Peace inside our hearts. You might be running around like so many of us, or maybe you've already done it. This whole Christmas season, it's supposed to be a time of joy and celebration. And for some of us, it is. I typically see it in those who are shorter than this. They're like, oh, yeah, this is great. When's Christmas? Whoa, when are we going to set up the tree? Or are we going to do the lights? And I'm like, that sounds like a lot of work. And it is a lot of work. And I've actually done it already because my wife told me to do it. So our lights are up a couple weeks ago. Our Christmas tree is up. Same time. I have more lights to put up. Luckily, my sons can help. But there's a mad rush, and there's gift buying, and there's wrapping. And there's cards to send. We had to print out 300 cards. We haven't sent any out yet, though. They're just sitting there. And then there will be this last-minute rush to write all of them and hand out to many of you. So you're causing me stress. Do you know that? But you know what? I think it's the same thing. It is also self-inflicted. It's self-inflicted. I think I have to do these things, that it is a must. Some of it's because my wife tells me, but a lot of it is because what I think. Because I'm supposed to look good, or I'm supposed to whatever. But you know what? I'm fooling myself. For me, I'm not that important. I'm not. I'm raising up my level of self-importance by thinking I have to do these things. Or maybe I'm trying to impress you. Well, that's a charade, isn't it? I think when it comes down to as simple as it is I have to remember one thing, and only one thing. It is, I am a child of God. Simplest thing. I am a child of God. I look at my kids and I watch them play. I can see Luke sprawled out on the ground playing with an angry bird, chucking at his brother. I see them laughing and giggling, throwing at each other. Yesterday it snowed and they were outside throwing snow at each other and rolling around. And as a parent, what do we think? As an adult, oh, are they going to get cold? Do they have, or what about their gloves are going to get all wet? They're going to get snow in their boots. They're going to get sick. We're going to have to go get medicine. We got to go to pharmacy. Is it on sale? And we come in with all of these crazy things of what appears to be logical. And you know what we're missing? At least I see this. We're missing the simplicity of just being a child. Simplicity of being a child. I would personally have been out there as well, but I've been hit a little on my layway. I had to have a little bit of surgery done in my left eye. And they zapped it. They injected this really gross stuff. This is really disgusting chemical. I can't tell you the name because it's way too long and I can't say it. But anyways, it makes me sensitive to light. So if I were to go out in light or in fluorescent lights, this is a few days ago, I would actually burn on the inside. And I was like, what? I said, you're kidding me. And the nurse is like, no, you will get a third degree burn. So I was inside with my hat on, my sunglasses on, covered up, looking out the window at my kids playing. And I was connecting. They're having so much fun. Having so much fun. And here I was on the inside. But I wanted to be out there with them. It's funny, is looking through different lenses in life. How God can change us. And he gives those to me every once in a while. See, I've had to do a lot of praying because of this. Because of thinking, oh, you know, my eye. And I did a horrible thing. I went on the internet. I typed in the symptoms. And what comes out when you look on the internet for medical advice? It gives you the worst case scenario. So I thought I had this horrible eye disease. I'm like, ah! And you know what? I hope it's been taken care of. I trust that God has. And I'm amazed at times as well for me. Is when I fret and am fearful, I focus on myself. Because it's about me. I focus back on me. I'm like, ah, what's going to happen? If I lose this eye, that's okay, right? Because I still have this eye. So it's okay. But then this disease might go to that eye. And it'll be blind. I'd say, is that okay? That's not okay. Well, can I do what I want to do? I'm going to lose all this stuff. What am I going to do with my kids? I keep on rambling, like I'm doing right now. Rambling. And my brain starts to go crazy. And then you know what? God reminds me that he's in control. He reminds me that he can still use me, even if I've only got one eye. He reminds me that he could use me, even if I don't have any eyesight. He could still use me. I don't know how, but he can. And his spirit is something which I so need in me. In John 14:27, it says, I am leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Gift of the Holy Spirit. A gift of not focusing on myself, but focusing on God. And that helps relieve my fears and my self-importance as well. I find that when I move back to that self-importance area, or it's all about me, I lose my peace because I'm only worried. So, what am I going to do about it? I think the challenge for me is to always lean on God. It's to lean on him, in whatever way. As a parent, as a husband, who's still in works, in terms of I'm one being worked on. The Holy Spirit has to be active. But I know something, though, about it as well, is I'm the one who has to activate the Holy Spirit, so to speak. Now, I'm not in control of the Holy Spirit, but I can take the action of seeking out the Holy Spirit in me. I have to do that. Because if I don't, I'm going to be thinking about all those other things. So I have to embrace. I have to go after the Holy Spirit. That's when I find peace. What about you? What kind of things do you need to do? Can you relate to what I was sharing with you? About the activity of preparing for Christmas, about self-importance, looking good in front of others, feeling good about yourself. When was the last time you tried being a child of God? When was the last time you turned the TV off? Played with your kids? Last time that you checked your bank account for the umpteenth time. And just sought him out. Took a moment just a moment, ask, Lord, oh, I need you. I need you. Because you know what? I love how kids do that. They just accept God. And they run and they play. They laugh, they scream. And they sleep oh so well at night, don't they? That's what I desire. And I bet you, you do too. Seek out the Holy Spirit. Focus on the Spirit and not yourselves and see what would happen. And lastly, I apologize, this one's long. It's peace with others. Peace with others. Who is it that you have challenges with right now? A coworker? A neighbor? Your parents? Your in-laws? Your children? Just think in your head right now. Who is it? Maybe they're not your enemy, but who do you have issues with right now? Just take a moment. Maybe you even write it down. Underneath that line there, peace with others. Write their name down there. Maybe it's multiple people. Two verses I just want to share with you, and I'm sure you've heard of them. And if you haven't before, I hope that you would remember them. From Matthew 5:44, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Without God, and out His love, without the Holy Spirit, there's no way that I could do that. There's absolutely no way that I could approach someone who dislikes me, maybe even hates me, has a grudge against me. I couldn't do it. See, we need those first two things before we can make peace with others. To love someone like that? But when we love someone, we can bring peace into that relationship. We can bring amazing things. And it won't be necessarily your actions, but it's what God will do because of what you're entering into in that relationship as a peacekeeper. Matthew 22:37 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is like it as well. Love your neighbor as yourself. For me, this is my biggest one. I already know God. I love Him. God has done something in me, has changed my heart through His Spirit, where I'm okay with myself. So those things were okay in terms of peace. But this one, that's the hardest one. It's with others. It's loving people who don't love me. It's loving my neighbors as myself. My wife and I have been talking about this a lot. And I apologize if I'm sharing this with you for the umpteenth time, because it's been really big on us for a number of months now. And it's about caring for and loving our neighbors all around us. And there's a desire for them to come to know who Jesus is and to know what He can do in their lives, because He's done it in ours. And so we've worked really hard at getting to know them, inviting them, inviting ourselves over sometimes, opening up our house. And it's tough sometimes because it's sometimes inconvenient. Sometimes it is, what's that Chinese word again?
Where did I put it?
Ha-hei? Is it right? Ha-hei? Good, okay. My wife says it much better than I do. It's this ha-hei thing. It's a politeness, right? And so, especially if you're in my family group, I apologize, you've heard this millions of times. This ha-hei thing of politeness. And it creates this barrier, I find, that stops us from getting to know people more sincerely, more transparently. And it's funny because we make excuses, to not get closer to people because of ha-hei. Okay. Why am I using a Chinese term? I can't even say it properly. Okay. But I know it because I see it around me. I see it in my family. I see it in my wife's family. I see it even in myself sometimes. Not a lot because I'm weird, but I see it. And I have to be honest, I'm disliking it, almost hating it. Maybe hate is a strong word, but I'm really disliking it. Because it stops us, I believe, stops us from getting closer to people. And on the other side, if you do it to them, they do it back to you. They're being polite. And this politeness stops us from becoming intimate. Stops us from becoming intimate. You know, loving someone, I don't think is about politeness. I don't. I think it is, I don't, it's beyond politeness. You see, it's funny, my favorite book is, and this is going to surprise a lot of people, it's actually Jane Eyre. I know you're like, what? Dahmer likes Jane Eyre? Especially probably the teens who are known for a while. Jane Eyre is actually my favorite book. It's my favorite book. And it's old British classic. I know it's the only classic book I read, okay? So just, I read it in university. And I didn't like it then until I read it like a few years later. But I love that book. And I actually like those movies with Jane Eyre or Mansfield Park and stuff like that. Because they talk so funny. Right? And they have this, I can't even talk like them, but they talk like really polite and respectful and like this, right? And they have this air of division between them when they talk like that. And I look at it and I laugh. Because I'm thinking, what is that? Even the fathers and the children and the mothers and the wife, and they do this. It's like they're talking and they hit this air, they bounce back. They talk and they bounce back. And then suddenly, a little kid comes running in and tries to hug the father. And they're like, right? Because it's disrespectful. It's not polite. And then I think of my own life. I think of my kids. Yeah, they're not as respectful. They don't know all the boundaries. They come running into our room and jumping on us. Sometimes my kid sleeps on my head. I wake up with actually a kid on my head sometimes. Or feet, stinky feet, snoring. Or kids jumping on my bed or pulling up my pants. One time, my pants almost got pulled off. Like, dragged. I was like, my pants! And they pulled it down and they started laughing at me. Daddy's trying to make something. I think I was on the stove or something. And they pulled my pants off. This is Luke, the 3-year-old. And I'm like, but you know what? It was about love. It wasn't about politeness. There's something amazing that comes when we love each other. When we let those walls come down. We're not worried about ourselves. We're not worried about the other person, what they're thinking of me. There's this amazing community of transparency that yes, my son can pull my pants off and I'm actually okay with it because he loves me. And they're laughing their guts out, of course, but they love me and I love them. Now, I'm not saying that you should go and pull your neighbor's pants off. But what I am saying is, what if you let that wall come down and love them and brought something between you and them? An amazing peace could happen around you, your neighbors. And you know what's amazing? You would actually infect them to infect their neighbors as well. Or they could reciprocate the love that you're showing them and spreading that to others as well. You see, when I think of the world and the war that goes on and the junk that happens, the crime, and I think, why isn't God doing something? If you're the Prince of Peace, why aren't you doing something about it? Do you know what? He already has, but he does it through Christ. And Christ does it, bringing us to him, and then brings us the Holy Spirit into us, to me and to you. And through that Holy Spirit, we don't have to be so self-important anymore because we recognize God is way more important. And we could bring that to our fellow man, to others around us. I think it just starts with one person at a time. And then one neighbor at a time. And we are the ones who are bringing it through Christ. We are the ones. We're not pointing our fingers at him. We need to be looking at the mirror ourselves and see what God would do that. Because he can do it through each one of us. So you want peace? I do. And that peace is attainable. One person at a time. And it starts with you. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you did on the cross. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for giving us neighbors. Maybe even enemies. Because, Lord, you've given us opportunity for you to use us. We can be your peacemakers. We can be your peacemakers, and not by our strength, but by yours. Give us courage, Lord God, to spread this peace around. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would make this so. And we all say, Amen.